Hello once again, and welcome to SearchSecurity.com Security Wire Weekly for Wednesday, March 15th, 2006. I'm Eric Parizeau. This week, an interview with Jennifer Simpson from Yankee Group on Google's fight to keep its search data safe. Plus, the hits keep on coming for Apple, rooting out rogue files, and the CIA gets its cover blown, thanks to the internet. But first, this week's top story. After piling on the patches in February, Microsoft has gone easy on security pros this month, and that held true once again this week. Yesterday, in its monthly Patch Tuesday release, the software giant unveiled just two security patches. Those fixes address a half dozen security issues in Microsoft Office, and one privilege escalation vulnerability in Windows. According to an analysis by the SANS Internet Storm Center, all the issues in Office involve opening a malformed file and enabling an attacker to take control of the system. Office users are advised to apply the patch right away. In other news, more bad news for Mac OS users. Apple has issued a new patch this week to fix a recently released patch and to address newly discovered security problems. This new patch fixes recently released repairs for its Safari web browser, iChat IM program, and Apple Mail client. Users had complained that it still left room for attackers to get through. Also, Apple addressed new issues involving JavaScript, Apple Mail, and Safari launch services. Next, security is getting plenty of attention in Washington. According to President Bush's proposed federal budget for 2007, spending on cybersecurity should increase, but it's not yet clear how that money would be spent. One of the organizations slated to see extra cash for security is the Department of Homeland Security, which would get $35 million to help encourage information sharing with state and local governments and the private sector. Also seeing more money would be DHS's National Cybersecurity Division. It would get a $25 million boost for aiding computer security in the government and elsewhere. While other groups are also expected to see more money for security, the House and Senate won't agree on final appropriation figures until this fall. Also in the headlines, wondering about a weird file on your PC? New freeware from endpoint security firm Bit9 might be for you. Its new freeware utility, called File Advisor, helps users figure out which files on a Windows computer are supposed to be there and which ones might be malicious. It matches files up with a database of 250 million files, including records from NIST and the Department of Justice. It tells users about a file's purpose and whether or not it can be trusted. The utility is free for download at fileadvisor.bit9.com. And just into the newsroom, Adobe has announced patches for new Macromedia Flash Player flaws. The critical flaw could allow an attacker to use a malicious Shockwave object file to take control of a user's system. Affected products include Macromedia Flash Player, Shockwave Player, Breeze Meeting Add-in, and Flash Debug Player. Customers are recommended to visit Adobe's website for updates immediately. And now this week's Security Spotlight. Search giant Google has been in the Justice Department's crosshairs. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is asking the courts to force Google to produce data about the websites and terms its users search for. The request is part of the government's investigation into whether an online pornography law is effective. Just yesterday, a U.S. District Court judge signaled that he intended to force Google to hand over some of its data to the feds, possibly undermining the privacy of Google users. So does this mean anyone's Google search terms could be soon up for grabs? Joining me now is Jennifer Simpson, Research Associate with Boston-based research firm Yankee Group. Jennifer, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer, why is this case getting so much attention among privacy advocates?
Well, there are a number of privacy groups who are concerned about this, one of the key ones being the ACLU. And what is at stake is that search engine companies, including Google, can release information to authorities such as URLs and search queries that people have been looking at and searching online. Those pieces of information, of course, are normally kept private and are not shared by Google as well as other search engines. the implications are if this info was released to search authorities. Searches normally done in privacy could be made public. Various scenarios that can happen from that is everything from the legal implications, which you mentioned in your introduction, where someone who has been searching for child pornography online can be made public to authorities and proper judicial action can take place. However, there's a snowball effect that says that perhaps if authorities can get hold of this information, so can other individuals and groups. For example, a fear is, what if a person who has a medical condition searches online for treatment options and that information is released to insurance agencies, etc.? So there is a potential snowball effect for this.
Now, the judge yesterday indicated that he plans to force Google to hand over some data, but not all the data that the government had originally been seeking. So what does that mean in terms of a worst-case scenario for the data that Google could be forced to reveal?
Well, the worst-case scenario in this particular case seems to be that some URLs that searchers had been connected to may be handed over. And the estimated number of that is, I believe, about 10,000. However, the judge can make appropriate distinctions and adjustments to that number. Originally, what I believe the Department of Justice was looking for was a higher number of URLs as well as search queries that were taking place. But the worst-case scenario going forward is that this potentially opens up the floodgates to various subpoenas and warrants from other groups, individuals, and legal proceedings for a variety of cases involving not just criminal but also civil matters. There has been some discussion, and it's not come to court yet, about subpoenas for search records for divorce cases, for example, or various other fraud cases that are civil in nature. So what isn't clear yet, because we haven't heard the final ruling at this point, is how much information will be released, but this does have a long-term potential effect into civil matters as well as criminal matters.
Is there any potential risk to corporate security or privacy? For instance, could it become known what a Fortune 500 CEO was searching for, or that a company perhaps was doing some specific competitive research on a rival's product? Could that somehow become public?
Well, there are a number of issues in considering that sort of question and that line of thought. One of them is that the search companies themselves tend to guard their information that they hold quite steadily, and they won't give it out for unreasonable issues. They will give it out, it seems like, if there's a subpoena issue in some cases or if they are challenged in court to give it out. And, of course, a court order forces them to do so. At this point, it's probably not an issue because search companies have protected this information. We also see that they will only give it out when there's a legal matter at case. So I think for a corporate piece of information to be given out, first of all, it would have to be available on the web. But also you'd have to see that there was really a legal matter at stake, whether that be civil or criminal, such as a fraud or stealing company secrets. And again, that information's hard to get on the web. I think there would have to be a legal implication before the search companies would be willing or able to give that out.
Finally, looking at the bigger picture, do you think companies and or the public at large should be concerned with the information that Google and other search engine firms possess?
Well, I think this case specifically does relate to the 1998 Child Online Protection Act at this point. And although authorities initially tried to deal with that through credit card tracing, there have been issues with persons who have undertaken credit card fraud, so people have been wrongly accused of this, as well as it only covered online purchases. I think people should keep in mind that search engine companies do keep records of their queries, URLs, other information as well, and if they have an email or other account with that search company, they can be connected, their URLs, their ISPs, with an identity, their own. However, I don't think that long-term this should inhibit you from creating searches. It's still unclear as to how this information is going to be used and whether, of course, the search engines will be forced to give out the information. Search engines, again, will protect their users, but subpoenas limit this and can force them to hand over information. There are a number of things people can do if they are concerned, including clearing cookies. You can also clear your web browser's history, and you can also use anonymous services online. None of these are full protections, however, as computers themselves can be searched by government authorities if they wish to trace information. So it's important for the public to keep in mind that they are being monitored, but they should not be afraid of doing online searches.
So it sounds like definitely a case to watch, though, and we'll be keeping tabs on it going forward. Jennifer Simpson, Research Associate with Yankee Group, thank you so much for joining us on Security Wire Weekly.
Thank you.
Finally this week, the CIA goes to great lengths to ensure its operatives remain anonymous, but thanks to the internet, that may all be for naught. According to a report in the Chicago Tribune, the covert government agency recently learned that classified information about its agents and their locations around the world is available on the web. Using both free and fee-based services, a group of reporters and researchers were able to search terms like CIA employees on the web to find agents' names, and then cross-reference those names with information in other services to find home addresses, telephone numbers, and satellite locations of where the agents live and work. Senior U.S. officials admitted that the agency sometimes uses weak cover stories and that it was only a matter of time before the internet age caught up. And that is Security Wire Weekly from searchsecurity.com. The latest IT security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And for more of our podcasts, visit searchsecurity.com/podcast. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric Parizeau. Stay safe out there.